HarperCollins presents The Chatelaine by Kate Hartfield. Read by Beth Eyre. For Xavier, who loves history. But tell me this. Why hidest thou with sorrow the keys of thy chest away from me? It is my good as well as thine, pardie. Chaucer, The Wife of Bath's Tale. Prologue. Bruges, 1302. Supper was salt herring again, skinny and bony. Marguerite grabbed her herring by the tail and dangled it over Nicholas's plate, the fish skin rippling silver in the light of one candle. Her brother frowned and pushed her little headless fish away. He probably thought himself too big to play floppy swords, now that he was 14. Now that there were French soldiers in the streets with real swords at their belts. Marguerite shrugged, lifting the fish to her mouth with a roar before devouring it. Nobody laughed. They were all so grumpy these days. Mother frowned, Katerina rolled her eyes, and Father did not react at all, gazing wearily at the candle. "Is there any bread tonight, Mother?" Katerina asked. Mother shook her head. "I'm sorry, darling. Perhaps this summer the harvest will be better." "It won't matter how good the harvest is," muttered Nicholas. "Flanders could become as rich as Cockaigne, with fat pigs running everywhere, ready for roasting. It wouldn't matter to us, because we'd have no coin to buy any of it. The damned French king will tax every morsel that passes through the gates of Bruges." Marguerite's stomach growled at the mention of roast meat. "Hush," Mother said. "Nicholas, you must not say such things, especially not outside the house. Your father must be seen as neutral in all this. A boatman needs customers. He needs trade. He cannot make enemies of the other guildsmen or the wealthy families. He must be neither Claw nor Lily for the time being, until things are settled." "The Bible says a man cannot serve two masters," said Nicholas. "No, he cannot," Mother said sharply. "But he may serve none if he's careful. In times like these, if a man chooses a side, he is already lost."
"I wonder why Lilies and why Claws," Katerina said.
"I know," said Marguerite, swallowing her fish. "It's because the French king wears a lily on his shield, and the Count of Flanders has a lion on his."
"I know, of course," Katerina spat. "What I mean is, I wonder why the king and the count chose those symbols in the first place."
"Oh." Marguerite didn't know the answer to that.
"You're such a show-off," Katerina said.
"It is a little unseemly, Marguerite, this habit of yours," Mother said. "You need not be so hasty to show the world every time you think you know the answer to a question." Marguerite's eyes stung.
"That's why you don't have any friends," Katerina said.
"I'd rather have no friends than no brains," Marguerite shot back.
"Girls, girls," Mother said, sighing.
Father gazed at Mother's face. It was a beautiful, disappointed face, like the image of the Madonna in the Church of Our Lady.
"Children, be peaceful for heaven's sake," he said. "You're only restless because you have nothing to tire you out, now that the crane is shut down. I'm sure it will start up again soon. You won't be cooped up much longer."
Marguerite ate the last of her herring, licking her salty, fishy fingers. She hoped the Bruges crane would be out of order for a while yet. She took her turn once a week like the other boatmen's children, but she hated walking in the wheel that powered the crane, walking and getting nowhere. Still, the crane helped Father and the other boatmen load their wares. She preferred the days Father took her as a helper in his boat. She would float along, dipping her fingers in the soft green water of the canals. She collected bits of wood and feathers from the surface. Each day, she chose one of her treasures to ride along in the pocket tied beneath her apron. She was good at finding, good at watching. That was how she had spotted the giant serpent that lived in the canals. No one else knew it was there.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?